This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to It's Complicated with me, Tanya Gooden, the podcast to help you untangle your relationship with your phone. This is a podcast about learning to live healthily and happily with technology and the digital world, and understanding why sometimes that's so hard to do. I'm your host, Tanya Gooden, author and founder of digital wellbeing movement, Time to Log Off. Each week, I'll be asking a new guest how they can help us with the relationship with the tiny tyrant in our pocket, our smartphone. Swept away. If you've been online for a while, you'll have come across the concept of catfishing. Catfishing is where people pretend to be someone else online, using fake IDs and profiles and photos, usually but not always related to online dating. I've actually written about catfishing in my new book, My Brain Has Too Many Tabs Open. And in the book, I write about the experience of my guest this week, Max Benwell. Max is a British journalist who now lives and works in New York, who got caught up in a catfishing drama a few years ago, but not in the way you might expect. I don't want to say too much about it, as I really want him to tell his story himself. I think you're going to enjoy it.
So, hi, Max. Welcome to It's Complicated.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks so much for having me.
I think it's about a year since we chatted and I interviewed you for my book. I can't remember if it was pre-pandemic now or...
Oh, it definitely wasn't pre-pandemic. No, I think it was about a year ago you got in touch and I got to appear in your fantastic book.
Oh, well, that's very kind. It's people like you that made it fantastic, if it is fantastic. I think yours actually was one of the most interesting stories. And it's one that when people give me feedback about the book, they always mention it. So, I mean, obviously it's about catfishing and we're all familiar with catfishing. People talk about it a lot, but your story, the way you got involved in a catfishing scenario, is a little bit more unusual than the type of thing that we've seen on TV. So I just wanted to start by asking you, when did you first realize that you were being pulled into a catfishing story?
It was a very, very odd experience because most of the time, people are the victims of catfishes where they're talking to someone, not realizing that they're someone else. Whereas it was in sort of spring 2018, I woke up one morning to a message on my phone. There was a woman who was DMing me on Twitter. She was saying, "I think I've been talking to someone who is pretending to be you. They're using your photos. And have a nice day." To be honest, I laughed it off and didn't really think about it because I think in my head, the internet is such a big place and people are up to all different sort of things all the time. And it didn't seem that crazy to me that maybe this would happen. But then I started to get more messages in the following weeks. Women in the same way would sort of DM me on Instagram or Twitter and say, hey, I think that this person who I've been talking to the whole time, it looks like you, but isn't you. And, you know, they seem quite proud of themselves that they figured it out. I don't think they were asking the person to send photos with like that day's newspaper, but they were being strangely evasive. So they put my images, the guy's images into Google and found my Twitter and my Instagram where they could message me. So in terms of being like a piece of journalism or me writing about this, that was never a question. It was just a funny thing happening in my life where it's like, oh, this person's pretending to be me, seems pretty harmless. But then I get a Twitter notification about a month later, and I've been tagged underneath a tweet by a woman where the person who's tagged me has said, oh, I think this person's catfishing at Max Benwell. And it's this woman from Oklahoma City who is very upset and has posted a screenshot of the catfish's message to them with my face. And it's the most kind of horrible, abusive message you can imagine. Mm. Just, you know, calling her all types of names, likening her to Shamu from SeaWorld, you know, calling her a bitch and a cunt. You know, like, I hope I can say that. But it was, yeah, pretty horrible, pretty shocking. And, you know, she was calling him out and saying, you know, you're not, I hope you don't get any dates in Oklahoma City. And that's when I realized, like, what if I, you know, went to Oklahoma City on a trip and this person or one of his people's friends or followers, like, saw me? It was like concern for this person, but also obviously the slightly selfish, like, oh gosh, this is very real and could affect me in a very real way.
And how did it feel when you saw your picture next to that message, those words? I mean, that must have been quite, yeah, shocking.
Yeah, it was no longer funny because this person had been harassed online and by someone with my face. I mean, all of the other women were kind of laughing about it, but she was clearly very upset. So that's when I really started to think, I want to stop this. I feel very cynical towards the ability of social media platforms to actually stop it, because I think a lot of these women were, if not just blocking, were reporting these accounts as well, but it was still happening.
Nothing was happening. I'm not surprised you say that. Disappointed, but not surprised. Yeah.
So I thought it would be good to confront this person, to find them. It's tricky, isn't it? How do you find a person who is pretending to be you? I went into the business of being a sort of social media detective, which I think we all are to some extent in our daily lives. You know, we've all kind of,
if we're honest, yeah. I agree.
So I took some of the skills that I already had, but also tried to do some new things as well. It took me down a bit of a rabbit hole.
So how did you do it? Tell me how you managed to track him down.
Originally, I thought that I could catfish him. I knew that came with particular risks because, you know, even though social media sites are quite hopeless with these people, they can sometimes ban you or block you if they find that you've been catfishing, because I was going to maybe, you know, sort of honey trap him, like pose as...
So you were going to pretend to be a woman? Yeah.
I was thinking about pretending to be a woman. So I spoke to someone from Facebook and I asked a spokesperson, if I'm being catfished, can I pose as someone else to try and stop them and sort of take it into my own hands like that? And they were like, absolutely not. This is against our policies, any catfishing. I was like, but even if it's for a greater good? And they're like, no. But then that made me realize that there's a loophole in all of this, which is that anyone can pretend to have a particular interest in a certain area and create like a business page for that interest. So all I knew about this catfisher was that from the last message, it seemed like they were targeting women in Oklahoma City. So I made that assumption that they were in Oklahoma City. And I was like, okay, so he's a young man, probably between 20 and 30. The messages he was sending just seemed maybe like 18 to 30. I mean, it's quite silly now, looking back on it.
So you set up a business page for...
I set up a business page called Gorgeous Ladies of Oklahoma, or Blue for short, thinking, okay, I can't pretend to be a woman, but I can kind of create a page for photos of women in the Oklahoma area and see if he'll follow it. So I got some of my friends to send like some holiday shots of them, which they were comfortable sharing with me. I told them, you know, I'm trying to get this guy, and, you know, if you have any photos of you, maybe sort of thirst traps, which you've already posted publicly, and you're not, you know.
So they're pretending to be the gorgeous women of Oakland.
Yeah. I gave them like fake names, you know, say like Adriana is a big fan of tailgating, you know, the Oklahoma City Raiders or whatever the football team is, and Eleanor Ferrante, stuff like that. You know, a real mix of interests. Who wouldn't want to date that woman? And then I sort of took advantage of the fact that Instagram lets you sort of very specifically target users if you pay to promote posts. So I put some money into promoting these photos to men between the ages of like 18 and 30 around like a sort of 15-mile radius of Oklahoma City. I also bought a lot of fake followers and fake likes to make the account seem legit and create like a nice logo for it. My main goal here was to have access to the account of the person who was catfishing me. I'd managed to find the Instagram account they were using, where the profile photo was of me in a little sort of kayak. And so I found that and I was like, I just need this account to follow this page and then I can see what they're posting.
How long did it take before you lured him in?
I just got a lot of horny guys in Oklahoma who were following me, but not him.
No.
So that was fun, but yeah, it was a shame that didn't work. I also bought Tinder Gold and changed my gender to female and then changed my location to Oklahoma City and like a 20-mile radius or something, and then started looking through all of men, swiping through them, trying to find myself. That didn't work either. Surprise, surprise.
Gosh, that'd be so weird, swiping your own picture. I'm just trying to imagine how that would feel.
It would have been like a kind of ultimate act of narcissism.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah. And that didn't work out. And that's when I kind of started speaking to Lenny, who is a social media detective who works for this company called Social Catfish. They have a bunch of tools and methods. If they have someone's name or photos, or like the photos they're using of you, they can plug them into their search tool. And it's even more powerful than the sort of Google image search or whatever.
And they can get a location, can they, from that?
Well, they can tap into like public records,
right,
publicly held information, other profiles on social media which use those photos. But the thing is, they put in some photos of me, but what they discovered is that there's even more catfishes out there, but just not harassing women in the same way. There was like someone had set up this account on a dodgy porn site with my photo. Like someone was doing like reviews on like Yelp or TripAdvisor with my photo. There was another person who was on Fiverr, you know, the freelance website, who had my photo. So that was kind of terrifying.
You were busy online, Max.
Yeah. It's
doing
like
all these various things.
Yeah, it's like Fight Club. I hope that's not a spoiler.
Oh my God.
If no one's watched it. But yeah, I was very, very busy. That just kind of was even more alarming. Meanwhile, I still haven't caught him, and I'm getting more people get in touch with me and say there's this one woman who had been texting with him and had become suspicious and then found me and then like started messing with the guy and got her male friend to start chatting with him and flirting with him and sending dick pics. And got him to someone. And I have to say, it wasn't, when it came to dick pics, he wasn't catfishing me. He didn't have that level of access. But there was someone's genitalia was shared from the catfisher. I don't know if it was theirs or...
With your name on it.
Yeah, well, he was using a different name, fortunately. He was going by the name of like John Saunders, but he had my face. So that was, slightly lighter, but still kind of messed up. So yeah, it was a real kind of odyssey. And it's very frustrating. I just couldn't get into this account, but then I managed to talk to someone who did actually have access to his Instagram account. He had followed her and she had followed him back. I was managed to find people who followed him through some sort of weird Google hack where there's all these sites which kind of mirror people's Instagram accounts,
yeah,
and you can see like who's liked
who they
it
follow.
So then so then I found someone who follows him and I messaged them and said, I really want to see what's on this page, can you screenshot the page and show me? And she did. And it was so much more horrifying than I thought it would be, because it was just every other photo was a photo of me, like baby photos of me, photos
Where
of my
was
ex-girlfriend.
Where was he getting them all from? Were they all coming from one source? I mean,
I think it was mostly from my Instagram. It was photos I had shared or photos I'd shared on Twitter or Facebook. But he was really plugged into my entire like photo output for a long time. Like as a family photo of me when I was a baby with my sister and my parents.
Gosh.
And photos of my ex-girlfriend and then lots of memes like peppered in between.
Yeah.
And kind of like American football team logos and stuff like that, which provided me some clues. But then the big breakthrough happened when I'd already been talking to an editor at Guardian who wanted me to sort of write about it. So I had that kind of in mind. So sort of as part of my writing process, I sort of created a timeline of everything that had happened so I could line it up and be like, okay, if I'm going to write about it, I need to know like, this person messaged me first and then this person and then this happened. And in doing so, I went back to one of the very, very earliest messages I had received on Twitter, which I have to say in my defense, like this was way before I'd started thinking about this as a piece and I was kind of just laughing it off. And I realized that they had mentioned in this DM that they guessed who it was because an account had followed them at exactly the same time. And I think
so they had his real name then.
They had his real name, yeah. And so then with the name, I was able to give it to Lenny at the Social Catfish, who's a detective, and she put it through their system and it pulled up a whole bunch of things. Two Facebook profiles of the same person. I was looking at stuff on Google with his name and it brought up this Google Plus account. Remember Google had a social media thing
that
was shuttered.
That's a blast from the past, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And there was this Google Plus group called Expose Them or Expose Him, where people shared people who'd been nasty to them online or predatory or harassing. And a year before all this started, he had sent horrible messages to someone, really abusive, like even worse than any of the ones he had sent to the woman who'd been in touch with me. But then he was claiming to be hacked. I think he was replying to it. And then there was this young woman called Tanya Gold who was defending him and saying, no, this, I call him Chris in the piece because I didn't want to give his name. So she was like, oh, Chris is a good guy. He wouldn't do that. Here are some photos of him. And then she attached like loads of selfies of him. And I was like, what is going on? It was like 30 selfies of the same guy. So I Google image searched her photo. She's like a young African-American woman, and found this news article of a woman who had gone missing just outside of San Francisco like 8 years earlier. So it was kind of like a murder victim.
Gosh, this is getting very dark.
That was the dark, yeah. One of the darkest parts of it. So he clearly used this photo of a dead woman to defend himself like a sock puppet on Google Plus. Meanwhile, Lenny gets back to me. She manages to find his address and his phone number. So I suddenly have his phone number and I put off for weeks phoning it because I'm so nervous because this is it. Like I've been looking to confront him and tell him to stop and explain how he's, you know, what he's done and has had this real impact on people and to ask him why he did it and how he found me and why he behaved in this way. But at the same time, I'm like, what's going to stop him from just hanging up as soon as I call him and say it's me?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So I put it off and put it off, and I finally get the courage to do it. I go into a little room in our office at The Guardian, and I call them up. It's a home number. Someone picks up, and it's all crackly. It's kind of, it's clearly him, but his voice keeps on breaking up, and I'm saying, "Chris, is that you, Chris?" And he's like, "Sorry, like, who is this? Who is this?" And I'm like, "It's Max. It's Max Benwell. I'm just calling."
It's your
face. Hey, buddy. I was like, you know, I'm just calling because I just have a feeling that maybe you might have been using my photos, and I'm not angry. I just want to talk. Like, I'd strategize this. In the time I was procrastinating and putting off doing this, I was like kind of coming up with a strategy of like, I need to be very unconfrontational, reassuring, make sure he doesn't panic, make sure he knows he's not in trouble. So I was
what
just like,
you know. What did you know about him? How old was he? I'm trying to sort of picture.
I think he was very able to find his age. He was like 27, 28.
Okay, yeah.
So not, I think
so you had an idea of what he was like before you rang him.
Yeah, like I managed to find his social media profiles, and he's kind of like an odd guy. You know, he was sort of posting Instagram posts where it was like the same selfie twice in two posts in a row. And then like it was a photo gallery swipe, and it was just like the same selfie from slightly different angles. So I don't know what was going on there.
And did he live at home in his parents' basement? Because that's the cliche about catfishers, isn't it? That they live with their mum in the basement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but he was like, this is my house phone. Like, my parents could have picked it up.
Okay, so he did live with his parents, yeah.
Yeah. Amazingly, he stayed on the line. And after the slight technical difficulties at the start, I was able to explain to him and say, you know, I'm just reaching out because I think that you've been using my photos. I'm not angry. No one's in trouble. I just wanted to talk to you. And he was clearly like quite panicked, but also amazingly then talked to me for a whole hour. And he just kept on denying it, but in a really dubious way, but he was so adamant that it wasn't him, and he kept on saying, well, the internet's like a big place, because I kept on saying, you know, an account with my photos on Facebook followed or added this woman as a friend, and then an account with your name added them at exactly the same time. Like, that just seems like too much of a coincidence. And he was like, well, the internet's a big place, like, that wasn't me, it wasn't me. I mean, he like followed the catfishing account. I was like, well, how come you, if you have nothing to do with this,
yeah,
how did this catfishing account come into your radar? Like, how do you know about it? He's like, oh, I think like someone was posting about it. I saw it and I followed it to see what it was all about, because they were like, watch out, of this guy, he's catfishing someone. So I kind of clicked onto it. You know, I was like, well, come on, man. This is ridiculous. You keep on saying the internet's a big place and there's lots of people on the internet. And then you're saying that you have nothing to do with this, but you also have like followed this account.
It's just happened like, coincidentally to be following it.
Yeah. And I was like, look, I know you're going to keep on denying this, but.
So did he ever admit it in the course of the
No. He just kept on saying, no, wasn't me. Got the wrong person. I was like, but look, I kind of just started talking to him. Like, I was like, look, you can keep on saying that, but I just want you to know that you've really upset people and you can't do this. You know, it's really a horrible thing to do. And your actions have had consequences, even if you don't feel like they have, because you're online and you're sort of anonymous because they don't know it's you. And he was like, well, you know, yeah, but it wasn't me. So, you know, whatever. So it was very frustrating. We kept on going back and forth. I tried kind of lulling him into a sense of kind of security. And I was just chatting to him about what he likes to do and then looping back around and be like, okay, so come on. But he still sort of stood firm. So eventually I kind of used our kind of chattiness and friendliness to be like, well, can I follow you on Instagram? And he let me follow it. And then I just started chatting to him idly, just about nothing, whatever. And meanwhile, I was kind of like awkwardly trying to hold the phone up to my ear, but then also screenshot every single
while
part
talking.
Of his profile while talking.
Yeah.
And that gave me the smoking gun, because then I put it side by side with the screenshots the woman had sent me of the account pretending to be me, the different account. And in a couple of instances, you had like three or four of the exact same memes posted in the same order in between photos of me on the catfishing account and photos of him on his real account. So, because I kind of assumed it's like, he's posted so many memes. Like, is he doing completely original content on each account? Like, that's a lot of work. And of course, yeah, he was cutting corners. He was using the same memes for different accounts. So I finally got him. He even sensed that something was up. Like, I didn't even reach out to him again, but he messaged me out of the blue and said, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. If you reach out to me again, you're invading my privacy. And I want to, like, you know, basically terminate any relationship, and if you're never to contact me again. At that point, you have to kind of step away and respect that, even, you know, if you think someone's done something wrong, you can't really keep on going. But I had everything I'd needed. I had, you know, communicated to him what I wanted to communicate, and I hope it sunk in for him. And I mean, I haven't really checked up on him since. It would be impossible to tell if he was still up to no good, because it's not like he was doing anything on his normal accounts.
Did you ever hear from any of the women? And I'm really interested in, because there are cliches, aren't there, about people who fall for catfishers. Did you find they were all similar sorts of women? Was there anything that gave you a clue as to why they were drawn? And I'm not victim blaming at all.
No,
I'm just
no.
interested in, you know, is there a profile of person that's more vulnerable to this sort of thing? And did you notice that when the various women got in touch with you?
Interestingly, it was only after I published the piece where a few women got in touch with me who more kind of fitted into that category, where you have certain kind of roughly common traits of maybe a woman who was quite unhappy in her marriage and quite lonely got in touch with me. I think it's like, yeah, that loneliness I found among a couple of women who got in touch afterwards and were asking me, like, can you help me figure out if this person's real or not? But in terms of the women who he was targeting, there was no trend at all. It was just people who he was finding on social
media.
Anyone
who would
adding.
Respond, I guess.
Yeah, it was really sort of scattergun approach. And I think if anything, it was more like young women who had just grown up with the internet and maybe didn't have their guard up as much. Like, yeah. They were happy to talk to someone randomly online. Like, that was normal to them.
Weren't as cynical.
Yeah, and I don't think any of them were lonely or, I mean, who knows. But like, that didn't seem like the main thing. It was just, oh, this guy is talking to me and he seems fine. He seems friendly. So I'm going to talk to him back.
And how did you feel? Because obviously you approached this as a journalist, Max. You know, you were researching a piece. I'm really struck by what you said a few minutes ago. You know, when he said, I don't want to engage, you know, you have to respect that. That's a journalist speaking. How did Max, the person, feel throughout all of this? Or was it only after you finished all your research that you were able to kind of process how it felt to be used in that way?
Yeah, well, it happened over such a long time period. It took about 10 months or so from getting that first message to kind of publishing the piece. It fluctuated between at first just kind of brushing it off and being amused, to then kind of being horrified, to then kind of getting obsessed with finding him and getting into the hunt. There was a lot of relief. at the end when I managed to speak to him, a lot of frustration, mm-hmm. but then getting that smoking gun with the Instagram memes just felt great. I was like, okay, yeah. I almost was starting to doubt myself because he was so adamantly denying it. I was like, oh God, what if I have got the wrong person? And then after that, I think a couple of women who he had messaged got in touch and were really happy. They really enjoyed the piece. And I think what's striking is that, you know, I don't think it particularly affected in a long-term way, like any of women. And that's not to say that it's not bad, but I think that a lot of women and people in general are so used to this kind of online abuse.
Which is depressing, actually, isn't it, really?
If like 100 years ago, someone was sending you really horrible telegrams, yeah. that might stick with you more. Because it's like, when does this happen? This is what is this person doing? This isn't a normal part of society, but nowadays you kind of expect it.
Was there a part of you, even a small part of you, that was a bit flattered? Because when I've mentioned the story to people, they've said, well, you know, he must be a good looking guy because a catfisher wouldn't choose a photo of somebody who looked really rough.
Well, there's a lot of people ask me that. They either say, were you flattered, or why did he choose your photos? So it's kind of, like,
ouch.
yeah, it's either very complimentary or very
opposite. Yeah.
In general, like, yeah, you can see it that way. But once you see the person who's doing it, see the woman who's doing it, you kind of realize that they're in this whole ecosystem of like online personalities and how you appear. I don't think catfish is looking for like the most handsome people. It's just kind of someone who looks normal, who looks kind of friendly. And also I think he just searched for like white man with glasses and I turned up. I don't know if he was like searching for like, you know, most handsome guy in the world. And if he was, then I think there's something wrong with Google.
Google's algorithm.
Yeah, they need to sort out their images.
So has it had any long-term impact on you in the way you use the digital world? Has it made you more cynical? Are you more protective about your images that you share?
Well, I've been online quite consistently since the age of like MySpace. Well, even before that, MSN Messenger and then MySpace. And so I was like 13 or 14. So nothing about this really surprised me. I think I've always been aware that people can do this somewhere. At some sort of time, anything's going to be happening on the internet. And, you know, and you add into that the fact that you have a sort of reasonable platform as a journalist and your photos and articles are going to kind of be out there and you're going to be a bit more visible as a result. So, yeah, it didn't shock me that much. What shocked me was just like how far he went and how abusive he was.
Yeah.
It's like there's not much you can do to protect yourself apart from wipe your presence off completely from the face of the internet, which some people do. Well, you know,
I think it's actually impossible really now, isn't it? It's very hard to do unless you've got a lot of money and a lot of time.
Yeah, it's pretty hard if you want to maintain like some semblance of a online presence,
which you have to as a journalist, don't you?
I've been thinking a lot about that recently, and like I think when you're coming up as a journalist, and if you go to like journalism school, it's constantly drilled into about like your personal brand and your Twitter and your employability all being kind of part of the same parcel. Now I've been sort of in journalism for 7 or 8 years. I'm starting to wonder if you still need that, you know, once you have a resume. Mm. And it's definitely, there's an appeal, not just because of this stuff, but I mean, partly, but a whole bunch of reasons and your own sort of attention and focus in life and time. Yeah, it's very appealing, the idea of getting off.
Do you have 3 words to sum up your current relationship with tech and the digital world?
3 words? Let me think. There's a lot.
Journalist to only pick 3. I know.
Yeah, I know. I need an editor. Well, I've got to the point where I really don't like how much I am online and how much I kind of rely on that and how much it splits my attention. But at the same time, I do get a degree of satisfaction out of it.
So resentful, would that be one? You're saying you...
Resentful, painful enjoyment.
Sounds faintly masochistic to me, but okay.
Yeah, it's a mutually abusive relationship.
Right. Well, that is 3 words, isn't it? Perfect.
Yeah.
And what have you learned about yourself from your relationship with your smartphone.
There are some fundamental things about human beings which smartphones really have been very effective at tapping into. I have found recently that I often can rely on external validation too much. I think I've always had this feeling of not really knowing what I'm doing and looking around being like, am I doing this right? And I think the internet provides you with this window into everyone else's lives where you can be like, how am I doing? Like, have I done this right? Do people like this? I think that you become reliant on that so much that you lose a sense of your own personal self. And it's like, who am I really? Like, what am I really interested in? Do I know who I am rather than how I see myself through this kind of strange mirror image I've created of myself? I'd love to just get to a point where I can just, you know, like in the past, like a big theme in literature is like the kind of return to nature.
Yeah.
The kind of mice and men going and living off the fat of the land. I feel like there's a growing sense of like, what would life be if we could just kind of like live in the sort of bucolic fields of...
We could just hurl our phones away.
Yeah, and exist in a world without the internet. I think about that a lot. But also, I mean, as someone who's a British person living in New York, I think for me, my focus is really shifted in the last few years to just how like group chats are for me the best sort of form of social media in a way that I never saw from the social media before. But
yeah,
it's not really any different from, you know, all these features which Twitter and Instagram are bringing in, like close friends. And there's this new Twitter thing where you can choose like a select audience for certain tweets.
I think that's where social media is going, really, isn't it? In terms of usefulness, it's us creating our own communities instead of, as you say, performing for the world.
Yeah, because people who understand you, who are supporting you and you get what you mean and understand, you know, that just because you haven't said one thing or acknowledged one thing doesn't mean that you're not into that. You know, like all of those things which you see on social media where people are like, well, does this mean, you know, you're saying you love potatoes, so does this mean you hate tomatoes? You know, your friends are like, oh, I've seen him eat both. So
yeah,
it's okay. That has been helpful for me being away from sort of friends and family in the UK, being able to sort of share what I'm up to and communicate. But at the same time, I think, again, like social media takes advantage of your urge to be connected when you're maybe slightly detached from your base. You find yourself checking your messages too much, opening the front door of your house when no one's there, and then closing it again, and then going back around and opening it again.
Picking the phone up, one of those old-fashioned phones, picking them up, shaking it. Is it still connected?
Yeah. Like, I've definitely found myself doing that. And maybe the solution is just being more at peace with yourself and not feeling that you have to respond to people all the time or be in touch with people all the time. I don't know.
So if people do want to be in touch with you, how can they find out about you, you and your work?
Well, I write occasionally for The Guardian. So, yeah. And I have my Twitter, which is quite easy to find, just Max Benwell. And yeah, that's kind of my main channels.
And people can see if they can find your photo online, Max.
Yeah. If they want to use it, it's fine, as long as they're nice. Yeah, I welcome all catfishers.
Thank you so much. This has been absolutely brilliant. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, no, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps new people find us, and it means you get a helpful notification whenever a new episode drops. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And my latest book, My Brain Has Too Many Tabs Open, is available at Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.